Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 51, the stanzas 1 and 2. Amid the thronging worshipers, Jehovah will I bless. Before my brethren gathered there, his name will I confess. And what follows, Psalter 51, the stanzas 1 and 2. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Leviticus 24, the verses 10 through 23. First, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Leviticus 24, beginning with the 10th verse. And the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel. And the son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses. And his mother's name was Shemuel Lomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp. And let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall he be put to death. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. A breach for breach, eye for eye, a tooth for tooth, as he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth the beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. Ye shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. And Moses spake to the children of Israel, that they should bring forth him, that it cursed out of the camp, and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this holy day of rest, when we may come up to thy house, and when we attempt to call upon thy most holy name, may it please thee to grant a true and an upright prayer, a heart that may be filled with awe and reverence, an impression of our many and great needs, a faith to believe in thee, and a deep impression of our unworthiness, that we have sent everything away. May it please thee to look down upon us poor sinners, and the Son of thine eternal love, in whom thou art well pleased. Then also on this Lord's Day, then thy mercies have been multiplied. We have been carried upon thy wings. Thou hast watched over us, and not dealt according to our sins. And then thou hast a right to require that true thanksgiving is not found in the natural man. May it please thee to grant by thy grace, by thy Spirit, what thou commandest unto thy church, O Lord. Wilt thou remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, by the reality and the solemnity and the shortness of life upon all our hearts, when it pleaseth thee to give unto our children one more day, then already 2/3 of this year has run its course, and we can never do it over again, shall never come back here in the time, and we must give an account, then the seed of thy word may still be sown, howbeit with many shortcomings in our Lord. Thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. Then in this evening hour leave us not cold, untouched, unmoved. Wilt thou grant a softening of the heart, and that by the first time, but also by renewal, an impression of our many sins, and that they need to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, we humbly beg of thee, that thou may bless thy word to that end, that sinners may be converted by thee unto thee. Wilt thou spare us that we build not upon sandy foundations, and wilt thou remember thy children, thou knowest where they are encamped, and thou knowest the struggles, thou knowest the discouragements, and thou knowest that of self, that they can bring forth nothing but that God dishonoring unbelief, that robs them of so much comfort. They are so dependent upon thy Spirit. Oh, that they may be given to look upon thee, that faithful covenant God, who has promised to never forsake the work of his own hands. May they be administered out of thy fullness and receive grace for grace. For souls that have riddles, may they be unriddled. Souls that have those knots, may they be untied. Souls that are bowed down, may they be raised up. wilt grant unto thy children that they may be more humble, that they may be more thankful. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace. Remember the consistory. The labors are manifold, they are weighty. Who is sufficient unto these things? May they be carried upon the wings of prayer. Wilt thou help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their dear children, as they have promised, with the baptism of their children, thou hast commanded it in thy holy word. Then thou hast also granted helps, and then when thou granteth it, then in this week, then our Christian school hopes to commence after many months, when they could not gather a time of vacation, and now they may gather again under extraordinary, unusual circumstances. Wilt thou grant thy help, wilt thou grant appreciation for the gift of the Christian school which thou hast given in the midst of the churches. And then we remember the bus drivers and their responsible task. Oh, do help them. Wilt thou watch over them mile after mile, grant traveling mercies to and fro. We commend unto thee the school board, the administration. Remember the teachers with their helpers, a weighty and responsible task. May it also be a joyful task. May they receive much love and respect, obedience from the students. Wilt thou help the students, give them wisdom and understanding. May they also be given to bow their knees day after day, that thou may help them. And above all, Lord, when thy word may be daily opened, ah, make it a blessing for young and old. May it be a year that it may please thee to favor our Christian school with a rich outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. We commend thy church unto thee, the established churches, thy servants, in a special way those who are becoming old and those that are weak. Wilt thou remember the students, remember the student, when he may speak an edifying word. Wilt thou be his helper each time by renewal. Wilt thou remember the suffering church, suffering for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, where also on this Sabbath day, so many countries, so many had to gather with fear and with trembling. Remember the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field. Wilt thou remember thy servants. Remember the team, those that are in Bolivia and those that are in furlough. And then we also commend unto thee him with his wife, who in the future hope to be sent out as mission workers, and who for a few weeks may dwell amongst us. Wilt thou remember them also when they have begun to study another language. Ah, make it easy for them, and that it may be for the purpose of all purposes. Remember land and country. Remember also our nation, our province. Remember the leaders. May they be given to reign over us and guide us. according to thy holy word, and that the kingdom of Satan may be broken down. The sins of our country, they are great, they are manifold. Thy day no longer honored, the Sabbath, the seventh commandment trampled upon, and the unborn continually murdered. Woe unto us that we have sinned. And then thou art speaking over the whole earth with the sending of the virus hitherto. Then thou hast placed a fiery wall round about us. We may humbly ask thee that thou may continue to do so. Ah, thou can never do it, because we are worthy of it, and because we have deserved it. May the time soon arrive that the whole congregation may come up to thy house. Wilt thou remember the many temporal needs amongst us? Then thou wast already given much opportunity to harvest what thou wast given to groan abundantly. May it please thee to also remember the thirsty earth. Remember the afflicted ones, Lord. Remember that son in the hospital. Then thou wast been a wonder-doing God. Thou wast watched over him hitherto. And then we may humbly ask thee that thou may grant healing, and that thou may grant strengthening. But, O Lord, then thou wert speaking in a special way unto him. My son, give me thy heart, ach Lord, by nature. Then we are not able, and then we are not willing. May it please thee to take it, and then he shall willingly give it unto thee. Remember his parents, his dear ones. Remember the mother that was in a serious accident, and then thou wert so good that in this evening hour she may even come up to thy house, grant a broken and a humble heart. Under thy goodness and under thy mercies, remember all under the physician's care. Then we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, those that have brought children to the grave, and other dear ones. Ah, do remember them, and do uphold them. Remember our elderly ones, with all those that may care for them. We commend them unto thee for body and for soul. Remember the burdens, remember the family circles. Wilt thou grant that love may abound? Lord, remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Wilt thou remember the young couple who in the near future, when they hope to be united in holy matrimony, wilt thou help them and all their preparations, and may they be given to beg of thee, that thou may be their pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, that thou may go before them, that it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy great and worthy name. Wilt thou remember all of our youth? Wilt thou grant them a husband and a wife in due time, and whom they may go through this life around the old truths and around the old ways, Lord? Wilt thou remember us under thy solemn speaking? Ah, grant a repentance from our evil and our worldly ways. May the inner chambers be more often filled. May we be more a praying and a begging people, Lord. May in this evening hour our eyes be upon thee. Grant a few words to speak. Remember all the hearers, those that may come up those that may listen along. Oh, pass us not by, O Lord. Do visit us in this evening hour. Do answer our poor petitions. We have nothing to plead upon, but may we be given to plead upon thy great mercy, Lord. Thy church, it concerns thy kingdom, and it concerns thy honor. Glorify then thy great and worthy name in a richer measure amongst us and our dear children. Thou hast said in thy word that there will be inquired of the children of Israel to do it for them. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 432, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. God Jehovah reigns, his are all domains. Tremble at his word, peoples who have heard of the power of him who made cherubim. His great throne is taken, and what follows? 432, 1, 2, and 4. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 36, the question and answers 99 and 100. Question 99, what is required in the third commandment? Answer, that we not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God, no otherwise, than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshiped by us, and be glorified in all our words and works. Question 100, is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin, that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? Answer, it undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Lord's Day number 36 speaks of the third commandment, the reverencing of the Lord's majestic name. With four thoughts in the first place, the significance of this name. In the second place, the dreadful profaning of this name. In the third place, the required childlike use of this name. And in the fourth place, the jealousy concerning this name. The third commandment, the reverencing of the Lord's majestic name. The significance, the dreadful profaning, the required childlike use, and fourthly, the jealousy concerning this name. Beloved congregation, we have several times already dwelt at the foot of Mount Sinai, and we have heard solemn things. We have heard of that precious introduction where the Lord has spoken so profoundly, and where he has spoken so lovingly, and where he has reminded the children of Israel of his wonderful works, where he has brought them out of the land of Egypt. And then we have heard of the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We have heard of the second commandment concerning how we and our children are called to worship the Lord. And then how has it been with those first two commandments. How has it been with the first commandment? Must we then not all confess that we have other idols that take the place of the Lord, something that we love and trust more than the Lord? Then on the past Lord's Day, then we have heard how the Lord requires that we worship Him in private, family, school, and church. And how is it now with each and every one of us? Then there is not one that can say that we are not guilty. And if we may have a little light, not one that can say that we are not very guilty. But is it now only in the understanding, or has that also become reality in our hearts? I read in the book of Nehemiah, with a rebuilt temple and with those rebuilt walls, that the city of Jerusalem, that it became a beautiful city, an honorable city again. And then in chapter 8, then we read that the law of the Lord was read to that people. They were given the meaning thereof. And then in the 9th verse, then we read that that people have wept when they have heard the holy law of God, that they were transgressors, that they have received an impression of the holiness of God and of their sinnership. And how is it now with us and our children? How much have we thought about it during the week? Are there boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly ones, that in the past weeks that you have thought of those first two commandments? A deep realization that we have provoked God, and the holy God, He demands a perfect obedience, outwardly and inwardly, thoughts, words, and deeds, and that the Lord in His justice, that He must punish all our sins with temporal and with eternal punishment. We have heard this morning that the children of Israel, that they have wept all night because of discouragement. Do you know what it is, people? That in the night watches, that there are times that you wept your pillow with your tears, an impression of your manifold sins, an impression who the Lord is, and a missing. Have we not heard out of Lord's Day number 33, when it speaks of the conversion of man, a sincere sorrow of heart, that we have provoked God by all our sins, and a hating and a fleeing from the same, O young and old, when our sins have not been pardoned, then they are still all on our account. And as we become older, how thick that book must become. In the context of the Heidelberg Catechism, than it is in the part of gratitude. And then in the way of the law, what a privilege and what a blessing it is when in the life of a child of God, when they may hear the law, to experience that sincere sorrow of heart each time by renewal. Oh, a tender and a close life. And at the end, with the Ten Commandments in the Heidelberg Catechism, then the reason is expressed why it is so necessary and profitable for the true children of God to hear that law explained, more humble, more prayerful, and a fleeing to that fountain of blood, that our sins may be blotted out. What shall it be, young and old, to come to the end of her life with all the sins of her whole life, our original sin still in our account? And then, if we are not converted before our death, then it shall be forever and forever too late. But today may still be proclaimed as such a rich Savior for a poor sinner. And now in this evening hour, then by renewal, then we may dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai, and then we may hearken to the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. In the second commandment, it is spoken about the worship of the Lord, and now the using of his name, then even our children can understand it, that there is a very close connection. What are we now to understand by the name of the Lord? We have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook that the Lord has given himself names. Ah, those names, they are given by him, to him, and for him. Then Reverend Hellenbrook has stated, to distinguish him from idols, of course, our children know that those idols of heathen gods, that they are not idols, that they cannot help us when we are in trouble. And in the second place, that thereby the Lord may make known something of himself, of his greatness. Thus, when in this commandment it speaks of the name of the Lord, I think our children can maybe understand it. When a person's name is mentioned, then everything that is connected to that person, that is included in that name. And therefore, in this commandment, when it speaks of the name of the Lord, then that is identical to his essence. It includes all his attributes. Then also this commandment is exceeding wide. In the larger Westminster Catechism, when it is asked what is required in the third commandment, then the answer is, the third commandment requires that the name of God, his titles, attributes, ordinances, the word, the sacraments, a prayer, avows Lot's, his works, and whatsoever else there is whereby he makes himself known, be reverently used in thought, meditation, word, and writing by a holy profession and answerable conversation to the glory of God and good of ourselves and others. Then the names which the Lord has given to himself, what a comfort they are for the true church of God, when it pleases him by his Holy Spirit to grant light thereupon. I could mention different examples out of Scripture. Oh, for Abram, when he was 99 years old, and when an Isaac was not born, seemed to be a cut-off case, impossible. Then the Lord says, Abram, I am that Almighty God. Is there anything too wonderful for me? In Numbers 11, then the Lord has spoken to Moses that for him, oh, concerning when the children have asked for flesh, then Moses has said, Lord, must now all the fish be caught out of the sea, and all our flocks, must they now be slain? Then the Lord has said, thou shalt see what I shall do, that there is nothing too wonderful for the Lord. Oh, the names of the Lord, what a comfort for the church in the way of providence, and even more so in the way of grace for a people that at the foot of Mount Sinai must confess that they are guilty of all the commandments of the Lord, and that with all their striving, that they are a sinner still. Oh, when we consider the names given to God and to the mediator, what a comfort. Isaiah 9:6, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, young and old. Has there now come room in our hearts for those adorable and those precious names which the Lord has given unto himself? Oh, he has given those names that when we may bow our knees, that we may address him by those adorable and majestic names. Our second thought, the dreadful profaning of this name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. That means in an empty, in a false, in an irreverent, in a superfluous way, in a wicked way. There was a man that has studied many a heathen religion, and then he has written with those heathen religions that he has studied among that heathen people, that among the heathens, that they always had a great reverence for their God and for the name of their idols, that they would never use it irreverently. Alas, alas, in Christianity, and especially in our day, although God is not in many thoughts, then how often that name is taken in vain. Of course, when we also consider the sin of the third commandment, then each sin is a sin, but there are different degrees. We have heard out of Leviticus 24 that there were two that have striven, and that the one, we have read it together, and the son of an Israelitish woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel, and the son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp, and the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord. Then concerning all the children of Israel, then each and every one was guilty of the sin against the third commandment. But then it is clear that there is a difference. Oh, to understand it rightly, each of our sins deserves temporal and eternal punishment, and yet a difference. Because when they have brought that man to Moses, and then Moses has inquired what must be done with that man, then the Lord did not say all Israel must be stoned, because they are all guilty of the third commandment. But that man that is blasphemed in a special way, then our Lord's Day, that speaks of different sins. It also speaks of perjury and rash swearing, but those sins are more dealt with in Lord's Day number 37. Thus we shall consider what is further written in this Lord's Day. Then there is spoken of cursing, that is blasphemous words expressed in anger, a calling upon the Lord for judgment, can be upon others in Acts 23. Then there were 40 men that have made a vow that they would not eat and drink until Paul was put to death. We even read of a Peter in the hall of Caiaphas, that he is cursed. Then we read of the profaning or abusing of the name of God. That is when that way is used in the way of swearing. And alas, we live in a country where it is so common, I hope, congregation, that it may not be found amongst us, because what a useless sin it is. When we think of stealing, of course wrong, it is sin. But if a person steals something, then at least he has something, it is true. Unlawfully cannot expect the blessing of the Lord, but still has something. But when one uses the name of the Lord that he curses, that he uses in vain, then it is not profitable for man. It is not profitable for our neighbor. Then we could speak of shortened forms of the names of God. When there is spoken irreverently about his house, his word, his works, sometime you read it. When there are people that speak of the weather, when it is a little different, that they say that the weather is crazy. What is that people, what is the world then actually saying, congregation? then I do not have to give the answer we have heard, that concerning the name of God, that all his works, that they are included. When we use the name of God in business life for our profit, to appear religious, we have examples in the Bible. Genesis 34, when the daughter of Hamor has defiled Dinah, and when he desired her for a wife, then those sons of Jacob, they have met together with the inhabitants of Shechem, and then they have said that can only be when all the males may be circumcised, and they have used it that they may kill them. But think of Ehud in Judges 3, when he went to the king of Moab. He said, I have a message from the Lord, and in his hand he had his dagger. Think of Absalom, when he went to his father, and that he said, I have made a vow when I was banished from Jerusalem, and now we have a desire to pay that vow, and it was for the purpose that he may become king. When we mock with the things of the Lord, think of those 42 children that have mocked with the prophet Elisha, and the Lord has sent to she bears that have killed those children. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. We have mentioned it in this morning, when we, with our baptized forehead, when we come in places where we do not belong, where we do things that the world is given to think, to say, is that now a people that have the name of a triune God upon their forehead? Paul has written to the Romans in Romans 2 verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Then congregation, then we hear how great and how manifold that the sins are against the third commandment. We read in Jeremiah 23 verse 7, because of swearing, the land mourneth. But now in our answer, then the instructors, they also stress what is commanded concerning the use of the name of the Lord. That is our third thought, but let us first sing. Psalter 304, the stanzas 1, 6 and 7. O give the Lord wholehearted praise. To him thanksgiving I will bring. With all his people I will raise my voice and of his glory sing. And what follows, 304, 1, 6 and 7. The third commandment, the reverencing of the Lord's majestic name. The significance of this name. The dreadful profaning of this name. And now thirdly, the required childlike use of this name. And then our instructors have added, nor by silence or connivance, and that means to give reasons, even to give aid, be partakers of these horrible sins of others. It is a privilege and a blessing, congregation, when we may labor among people that have an outward respect and reverence for God's holy name. When we are called upon to labor those that do not, may the Lord remember, may the Lord uphold, and may the Lord grant faithfulness. Then the instructors, then they mention, when we hear the name of the Lord used in an irreverent, in a mocking, in a wrong way, then it is our calling to lovingly admonish such a one. I read in Ezekiel 3, the verses 17 through 21, that their blood shall be required. And then how guilty when we reflect in our life. And it is true, we need the opportunity, the freedom, but it can be so easy to excuse ourselves. The instructors have stated that when we keep silence, that we are also guilty of the sin of that person. To that end, the necessity that the Lord grants prayer, that the Lord grants words, and that the Lord uses grants that opportunity can be, that when we lovingly admonish, because alas, we live in a country where for some it has become part of their language. And when they may be lovingly warned, that they tell you, to be honest, I do not even realize that I use the name of the Lord in vain. It is also true that it can fall out in bitter enmity. Nevertheless, our calling, and what is now necessary in that respect, that we have a love, a reverence for the holy name of God. Because when we love someone, boys and girls, if someone talks bad about your father and mother, then you become very upset. Maybe you even become angry, and therefore the necessity that we have that love for that name, jealous of his honor, and that prayerfully we may ask the Lord that we may be faithful all concerning that point, then we are all very guilty. The one time we say, "'Tis not the right time, not the opportunity, or a person that I am not communicating with, but perhaps sitting in another seat in the airplane, we can multiply it out. Nevertheless, it is sin before the Lord. And briefly, and that is what the Lord commands, that we use the holy name of God. Thus that means our silence. That can also be a great sin. When we speak in the way of providence, we are not to preach. But that sometime the name of the Lord is not mentioned, that he is not honored, that he is not thanked, do we not read in Matthew 10, the verses 32 and 33, that he that confesses my name before man, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. And he that denieth my name, that he shall be denied before my Father. Then we see in this commandment the necessity that we are given to ask the Lord. We read in Psalm 141, the verses 2 and 3, concerns prayer. Let my prayer be as the evening sacrifice, as the incense that riseth up, and then as set a watch before the door of my mouth. Then we read, and that we use the name of God, and no otherwise than with fear and reverence. When we consider our scripture reading, do we then have an impression that it is the holy book of God? The inspired word of God can be when we are tired, and even other times that we are glad that the chapter is not so long. To use the name of God with reverence, when we consider our prayers, how necessary. With the disciples in Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. Think of Abraham. In Genesis 18, verse 27, when he was pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah, that he was but dust and ashes burnt up before Sodom was destroyed. Think of that centurion in Luke 7, when Jesus was coming closer to his house, then he has sent the message that he was not worthy, that Jesus would come under his roof. Oh, what a wandering thoughts, even in prayer, utter words with our tongue, without a heart. With reverence and with that godly fear that is the tender fear of the Lord, an impression whom the Lord is and who we are, that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us. The Lord is so worthy to be worshipped. He is our Creator. He is our benefactor. Every blessing that we receive that comes from above, as I read in James 1 verse 17, and in the part of sanctification, a church that has learned how they can be saved through that precious mediator. Oh, free and sovereign grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved this church to death. Oh, he has confessed his Father each time by renewal. Already 12 years old, when he went up to the temple and when his parents have sought for him and found him sitting among the doctors, wist ye not that I must be in my Father's business? Oh, he has glorified his Father each time by renewal, and be glorified in all our words and works. Our forethought, the jealousy concerning this name, then there is asked, is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those. We know what kindling wood is, boys and girls. That is wood that you put on the fire that it may burn hotter. And now the instructor is asking, is the sin against the third commandment, a swearing and cursing, a so great a sin that his wrath is kindled against those? But then the instructors also make a separation when we think of the wrath of the Lord that has been kindled. Then what an examples we have in the scriptures of Pharaoh, who has boldly said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? A Rabshakeh that is mocked with the God of Israel that have told the people not to trust in the Lord. When we think of the end of Pharaoh and the end of Rabshakeh, oh, think of Goliath. It is written, he has defied the armies of Israel, and he was slain by David. But now our instructors, they have not only spoken about swearing and cursing, but against those who do not endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing. Was it then with the instructors, when they have written this question, that they were troubled with her silence, that they have not warned faithfully as they ought? But then in this question, that way we may read in other matter, because it can be, and we have to be careful that we do not blame the devil so quickly, but that the devil, that he can put terrible and blasphemous thoughts into our mind when our instructors are saying, endeavor as much as in them lies to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing. Are the instructors also thinking about those matters? Reverend Brackel, in his reasonable service, then he has spoken of those matters. John Bunyan, in the book where he has written his life history, then he has also addressed those matters. And there can be people that are so troubled with those things, can nearly be at their wits' end. Then Reverend Brackel has written in his book, but then we must make a distinction, and then he has used an example when a person has a house, and when there are people that throw stones at that house, trying to throw them through the window. And when such a person does his utmost to board up those windows to keep those stones out, then such a person is not guilty when those stones are thrown into his house. And then the answer, it undoubtedly is, for there is no greater or more provoking sin than the profaning of his name. When we think of the sin congregation, when we willingly committed cursing, swearing, using the name of the Lord irreverently, then it shall surely harden our hearts to give an example. If there is a father or husband that dares to use the holy name of the Lord in such a way, what shall he not dare to speak and to do to his wife and children? And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain, then young and old. Then by renewal, then we have heard that we are guilty. But now the question, what does it now work out? We have mentioned that in the time of Nehemiah, when the law was read and the distinct meaning was given, that the children of Israel have wept. And how is it now with us? Have we learned in beginning to weep for our sins? May we be included among that blessed people of whom I read in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Has sin become sin? Have we learned that we have sinned against such a good doing, against such a just and a righteous God? Have we learned that our sin causes separation? Has it brought us at the throne of grace? Have we learned to cry for mercy? Oh, the Lord has a people upon the earth. Faith worketh by love. 'Tis on account of the love for that name, for the love of God, that sin becomes sin. Oh, then by renewal, should it not be the question, what must I do to be saved? 'Tis in the part of sanctification. Then we read in the scripture that there has come one, has been sent by the Father. He has assumed our human nature. He was arrested. He was brought in the hall of Caiaphas. And there we read that he was accused of being a blasphemer. Then the high priest rent his clothes. It was when he said he was the Son of God. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? What think ye? They answered him and said, he is worthy of death. Blasphemers are worthy of death. And now the Son of God, his great love, his great willingness, has come upon the earth, taken the sins of his children upon him, and he was accused, he was condemned as a blasphemer, and the reason is so soul-saving and so God-glorifying that there may be a people that may be forgiven, that may be saved also of the sin against the third commandment. Oh, young and old, beg the Lord fervently for the work of the Holy Spirit, for uncovering, but also for further instruction in the context. 'Tis in the way of sanctification. Oh, blessed that people, a tender life, a close life, also concerning the preaching of the law. Ah, the church learns, no, they cannot be saved by the law, but in the part of gratitude given to love thy law. We read young and old, wherefore in Hebrews 7 verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Therefore, young and old, may be proclaimed that there is salvation, that there is forgiveness for sinners. Also against the third commandment, may the Lord grant that we may be given to think and meditate upon what we have heard. May in this night, may there yet some tears be shed by the first time and by renewal. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to grant the application by thy blessed Spirit, that the message brought with many shortcomings, that it shall not be left on the church bench, but that we may be given to examine each of our hearts by the first time and by renewal, and that we may be given to flee unto thee. Lord, we humbly ask thee, may thou graciously watch over us and our children. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger, spread thy gracious wings over us. Wilt thou bless the labor of our hands. Wilt thou grant strength and courage. Then by renewal, then we remember our Christian school when it hopes to commence. Lord, if thou had not watched over us in the past week, then there would have also been a student missing, it is true, not unable to attend the school the first day, but still in the precious day of grace in the land of the living. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou guide our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? And then once more, then we commend the confession of faith class unto thee, when thou granted it, then on the coming Lord's Day, they hope to make an oath. Ah, wilt thou grant uprightness and sincerity, O Lord? Wilt thou work by thy Spirit, and wilt thou spare them, that they take not the name of the Lord in vain? Wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of this evening, bring us safely to our homes, Well, thou be the faithful keeper, Israel, that slumbers and sleepeth not. Also in the night that lies before us, remember those that are called upon to labor in the night watches, those that take care for the elderly, those that take care of the sick. Remember all those that work in the field of emergency. We commend them all unto thee, Lord. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins, also of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 422, the stanzas 4 and 5. The host of heaven, O God, acclaim thee, Lord, alone, and greatly fear thy name above all around thy throne. And what follows, 422, 4 and 5. pray, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.